Sports Beat Extra with Odrin Johnson on Beat.
The story of the Wexford footballers' growth over the last 2 years has been gathering interest nationally. Having secured back-to-back league promotions, John Hegarty's side now find themselves in Division 2 of the National Football League. One player in particular that caught my eye during the campaign this year was that of goalkeeper Dara Brooks, whom I caught up with earlier this week.
Dara, thanks a million for joining me. Firstly, I mean, fresh off probably a result you maybe didn't want at the end of the season, but, you know, promoted to Division 2, I suppose two promotions, 2 years in the trot now. It must be brilliant for yourselves and for the Wexford team.
Yeah, a lot of work's gone into it now over the last few years. I think the league was obviously very successful for us, but there's a feeling that we left it behind on us on Saturday night. So we're going in the right direction. Progress is always a good thing. So look forward to championship now.
How does, I suppose, that work? Because, I mean, you look back to last year as well and that final against Limerick and being agonisingly close to getting the Division 4 title. And this year as well, like, I mean, kind of coming up to the end of regular time, like, it was just a case of really trying to hold off down, and obviously that didn't go the way you'd hoped. But, you know, it's kind of a weird sort of catch-22 where you're obviously delighted that you've been promoted, but also devastated that you haven't won a trophy.
Yeah, I think that's something we talked about, is winning in Croke Park at the start of this year. We obviously didn't do it on Saturday night, but yeah, Limerick last year, I think we just conceded too many goals on the day, and we were kind of just chasing. I think the last few minutes against Down, we just couldn't hold on to the ball, and they obviously killed 3 minutes at the end and kicked it wide to put it into extra time. But no, that is the next step now for this team, is to kick on and try win silverware.
I have to ask you, I know probably everyone has been talking about you, and especially the last few weeks, 26 points across a league campaign is unbelievable for an outfield player, but for a goalkeeper it's even more sort of difficult to kind of comprehend. To put into perspective, I suppose, the last 3 years you've been playing, you've got a combined total of 17 points, and this season alone you've nearly gotten 10 more than that altogether. You know, for yourself, you know, how does that feel on a personal level? Are you noticing more eyes on yourself? I suppose there's obviously a change in the game with the rule changes and everything, which I'm sure we'll touch on, but for you, do you thrive under that pressure of people kind of taking that bit more of an interest in yourselves and even from opposition teams?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Halfway through the first half against Down, their corner forward said to me that I'll be getting no frees today. So it's obviously, I obviously kicked 8 points against them in Wexford Park. It must be something teams are looking at. But like, we've a load of 2-point shooters throughout the team. And I think we're the highest 2-point shooters in the country across the four divisions. But yeah, no, I have noticed there's a bit more eyes on me, but that comes with playing at a higher level, going up the divisions, something you have to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I know, obviously, there's blurred lines now from a goalkeeper perspective. You're not really just a shot stopper anymore. You're kind of almost expected to be an extra defender in a lot of senses and to be an outfield player yourself. How would you, I suppose, define your own position now? Do you see it as that traditional goalkeeper, or how do you, I suppose, describe it to people in your play style?
Well, I think kicking is the biggest thing. You look at all the top keepers in the country, Rory Beggan, Mark Jackson, Niall Morgan, they're known for their kicking. Shot stopping's obviously very important as well, but no, I think 80% of your job is kicking now, because on a game-to-game basis, you might have one or two shots to save, but no, it's definitely kicking is the main thing.
Do you think the traditional approach of goalkeeping is almost being phased out or becoming obsolete, or like, how do you, I suppose, envisage that changing in the future?
Yeah, well, especially with the free taking, you probably didn't see that huge amount a few years ago. Now a lot of teams have their goalkeepers taking long range frees. There's a lot more structure and tactics to it from a kick out point of view. For myself, reading the game, and if I can come out and intercept a ball that's played over the top, happy days. But no, it's definitely changing, and I think it's one of the most important positions on the pitch, but of course I'd say that.
Yeah, I suppose the long range freeze is an interesting one, because there's a risk and reward with a goalkeeper taking a long range free, especially when it's a bit, maybe even a bit further up the pitch, like that you're, if possession is turned over, you're almost kind of left a man down in the back. Like, how does that, suppose, you know, how does the team manage that trade off, I suppose, in a game? Like, is there much conversation with yourself, or I suppose even in training, does John kind of instill this idea that, you know, somebody else needs to cover you while you're gone up, or how does that work?
Well, with the rules, if I go up, someone has to come back in case the ball is in play afterwards, if it hits the post or drops short. But no, I think everyone's familiar with the distance I can kick it, and if we get frees within 55, 60 yards, distance shouldn't be an issue. Mm-hmm. The ball should be going dead anyway. So there's not a huge amount to it. It's just covering yourself in case it hits the post, comes back out. You have to get someone back or else they'll call a breach.
I know you kind of mentioned as well, like there's a lot of work that you've done behind the scenes on frees and all that, but I think there's probably a lot of pressure there as well. Like, especially as I know you mentioned that there's a good few 2 point takers in the team that could realistically step up and do it, but they've obviously decided that you were the man to do it. And there's pressure with that, that comes with that extra responsibility. And how have you, I suppose, managed that coming into this season and last season as well?
No, I enjoy it. I enjoy taking the frees. It's obviously nice when the ball's going over the bar and you feel a bit more confident. There's some games I'm just hoping the ref gives us a few more frees because I'm in that mindset that I will put them over. But like, it hasn't all been easy. I think Carlow last year in the league, I had 4 frees, missed all 4, and I walked off the pitch feeling fairly embarrassed. So I got to work, researched NFL kickers, rugby kickers, free takers in football, and just jotted down a few things, what they were saying in terms of their setup, their striking. And so for 2 or 3 weeks after that, I was bringing my journal out onto the pitch, just kicking into the net, ignore the post, just kick into the net and hopefully try find something.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to work. Just getting my planting foot right, my hips at impact correct, the weight transfer through the ball, and it's pretty much become second nature to me now.
It's kind of, I suppose, when you look at the evolution of goalkeepers, you mentioned Rory Beggan already, but obviously Stephen Cluxton has a role to play in that very early on, even from his free taking potential, he was brilliant. Like, you know, is there a part of, I suppose, I know you mentioned looking at those NFL kickers, but is there a part of the, I suppose, the footballing side of the game that you look at goalkeepers that you try to emulate a little bit more on the pitch?
There's a few, like you'd be watching a few games at the weekend and you take different bits from different games, mm-hmm. but just in terms of my position, like I said, like kicking is huge, and it's Rory Beggan's really the man to look at. Anytime he steps up, they may as well put the points on the board before he kicks it. So it's those type of players that I'm looking to try reach and get to their level consistently. And
do you I want to ask, the Westmeath game, everyone remembers obviously the last minute goal, which is sort of, I suppose, clouds all the rest that's before it because it's a moment of magic. But up until that point, you score 4 points, or, well, 2 two-pointers just before that, and, you know, they're quite vital in the end. You know, pressurised free-taking like that, you know, is there a difference to how you approach something like that, especially when you know how vital a game that is? Or, I suppose, have you done enough work off the pitch that it kind of almost feels the same as every other free?
No, it feels the exact same. Might be cliche, but you're just not thinking about time left, the scoreboard. It's just same setup, same strike. Make sure you commit to the strike and the rest will take care of itself. But no, in terms of that Westmeath game, I don't think anything will top that.
No, it is one of those things, because it's probably the case in hurling, camogie and ladies football as well, that, like, you know, if you're playing outfield, you almost don't have time to think about the external factors of the crowd or what time is left. But if you're in goal, there's almost a large periods of the game where you're kind of having to wait around and kind of see what's happening. Like, for you, do you find it more difficult, I suppose, as a goalkeeper to kind of mentally stay in the game and not get distracted by external factors? Or how does that work for you? Because I would imagine just based off those factors of sitting on your own for moments of the game, that it could be easy to maybe wander off and think about extra bits.
No, I try to stay quite present. Like, if you might average 15 kickouts a half, so that's nearly a kickout every 2-3 minutes. So you stay busy that way. You're trying to organise your defence when you don't have the ball. You're trying to see how you can control it but not control it, mm-hmm. when we're attacking. But no, everything happens so quick, you can't really switch off whatsoever.
On the attacking side of your game, like, are there specific triggers or, I suppose, scenarios in which you're kind of told not to go up, not to attack, or is that kind of more instinctive and you're left to your own devices in that sense?
No, we're a very well coached team. I think everyone knows what they can bring to the table. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get involved if I don't think I can add something to it, so I'd stay back more often than not. But no, we're a well coached team. We have certain set plays. If the game's become a bit stretched, we'll try to slow it down. But that's no different to any other team, really.
Mm-hmm. You're effectively one of Wexford's primary scorers. I mean, you this season alone, I think out of all Division 3, you were the 11th top goal scorer. Is that a prideful thing for you? Are you always trying to, I suppose, better your scoring level year on year? Or like, is it one of those things that the numbers don't matter as much as, I suppose, the crucial nature of the points themselves?
Yeah, it's a thing, like, maybe not looking at your points tally, but it's just how many you've missed and trying to keep that number to a minimum. I think that's most important. Like, you'll never be perfect, but it's trying to minimise the mistakes and just when you get frees, just make sure they go over the bar.
You spend a lot of time on frees. Do you find that maybe, do you kick yourself a little bit if maybe you, because I, if you're a goalkeeper or even a defender, you're probably expected that majority of your time would be spent focusing on defensive capabilities. Like, and you, if you're contributing a lot of time to frees, do you almost feel like maybe there's times where, I suppose, maybe you think to yourself, oh, maybe I should be focusing a bit more on the defensive side of the game? Because, like, obviously I'm not trying to throw shade or anything. I think your defensive side of the game is fantastic as well, but, like, you know, it's not a position that would be, it's not a position that would be, you know, normally taking so much time at looking at a very specific attacking aspect. How do you, I suppose, balance that, I suppose, inherent sort of idea that you should be doing one thing but you're actually doing another?
Well, because whenever we get free, I've time to walk up and then compose myself. But apart from that, it's just you're focused on the game completely. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think about frees now a whole lot. It's how I can impact the game outside of that, with kickouts, with making sure our defence is set, that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't think about kickouts really, or sorry, frees really, up until we get one. Mm-hmm. Then I have time to walk up or jog up the pitch, compose myself, and then the ball's back in play soon after that. So you just back to in play thinking.
Does your, I suppose, would you describe your defensive and attacking mindsets as separated, or would they be kind of interchanged and mingle with each other in a sense?
No, I suppose they go hand in hand, really. It's because everything happens so quick, you could be in a defensive mindset and you could get a turnover. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to get bodies up the pitch but keep three men back. So everything happens so quick, you have to kind of think about everything as a whole instead of defensive minded, then attacking minded. It all just happens so quick, and it comes with experience in games, really. You just get used to what you have to do.
Division 2 next year, is this a sort of, I suppose, a consistent or sustainable method of scoring points for yourselves, do you think, going forward? Or do you think teams will actively target your style of play a bit more?
Yeah, look, obviously Division 2 is going to be tough next year. Dublin, Monaghan, Tyrone and the like. So it's going to be interesting. It's what we've always tried to do, is get Wexford back to Division 2. But in terms of if teams want to press out on us and not allow us to kick 2 points from play, or maybe limit their fouling so we don't get frees, like, they're going to leave gaps at the back. So we have players that can exploit them that way. We're a very well-rounded team. We're a young team. We're ambitious. So whatever any team throws at us, we'll go at them.
I know I've been guilty of talking a lot about your scoring potential and not so much about your actual goalkeeping ability, but do you find that is there a part of your game that, I suppose, if you take out scoring capabilities altogether, that you think gets overlooked or is maybe quite underrated?
I don't know if I can say that, but no, I think I'm a decent keeper, well-rounded. Obviously, I'd like to think I haven't reached my ceiling yet. There's plenty I can improve on. Well, no, look, I think my shot stopping is at a good level. Kickouts are a good level. I think I'm well able to claim high ball and deal with anything. So, no, look, I'm well-rounded. I'm not the goalkeeper, the finished article yet. But hopefully I can reach new levels soon enough.
You mentioned, obviously, not having reached your ceiling there. And there's probably a load of Wexford players that would probably say the same for themselves as well. Like, it must be a very exciting time to be part of this Wexford panel, specifically with, as you mentioned, like, wanting to get Wexford back to Division 2, you've now achieved that. And realistically, the expectation on you is very low, I would imagine, considering you're kind of in that underdog sentiment again. And I suppose even going into Division 3 this year, a lot of people would have been saying that, well, Wexford are bound to go back down again or something like that. And even the case that happened with, like, it could have been very easy, I suppose, in a sense, like we saw what happened to Limerick, you know, they beat you in Division 4 and now all of a sudden they're back down there this season. You know, what, I suppose, changed throughout promotion from Division 4 to Division 3 that kind of set you on this path of kind of battling against all the odds?
Yeah, like from a player's point of view, I know the quality we have in and around it with players and management. So like we don't listen to a whole lot of outside noise, to be honest. Our goal at the start of the year was to get promoted, believe it or not. We had a meeting just before the new year, and that was our primary goal, to get promoted out of Division 3. We thought we were well capable of it. And then we go up to Fermanagh in the first game, playing a Northern team away, and you come out of there, I think we won by 4 points, and team morale was pretty high. Bet Leash the week after, and then you're kind of just on a roll. We lost two after that, but we bounced back well. A win down in Clare was huge. And the more wins you pick up, the more the confidence goes up. And it's not a shock to us as players that we're operating at this level and haven't got promoted. I believe we had the players to do that for a long number of years. It's just the S&C, the experience, all that has to come together at the right time. And I think it has this year.
Mm-hmm. It must be, people talk about difficulties in trying to maintain that sort of winning mentality if you lose maybe one or two games on the trot. And as you mentioned, kind of you win two and then you lose two, and it's kind of, you could, I suppose it would be easy for a side like yourself to say, well, you know what, we've actually won two, we're going to sustain division status, that's enough for us. But you continue to push on, and obviously, you know, in the most dramatic of circumstances, get promoted. But like John, when I was speaking to before, mentioned that the game against Limerick, I mean, you lose that by a point and you're really disappointed by that and really annoyed by that. Do you think that that loss in particular, I suppose, almost drove you on to know, say, like, well, that's actually not good enough, we're a lot better than that?
Yeah, the Limerick one hurt. We conceded a goal in the last minute and kind of felt like nearly in the mindset, if we've won that, we are definitely secure in Division 3. But we kind of we knew we had downed the week after, and they kind of taught us a lesson in Wexford Park. But Sligo came down, we bet them, and then went to Clare, we got a huge win. Obviously, Westmead happened, which was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But we could have just sat there and said, right, we'll stay in Division 3. But no, we kicked on. We knew we had the players. We are an ambitious group. We want to get to as high of a level as possible. And you can't really put limits on what you want to achieve, or else you just fall short of them.
It's almost karma that you concede a goal in the last minute against Limerick and then you end up getting promoted by a goal in the last minute, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, that's sport, that happens. Mm-hmm. We felt sorry for ourselves down there in Limerick, but we were obviously delighted when it happened for us against Westmead. So, look, you get that sometimes, but we put ourselves in a position to get that goal and get promoted.
Mm-hmm. Loud in the Leinster Championship now, it's kind of, is it almost difficult, I suppose, to rip yourself away from what an amazing league campaign you've had, and kind of, you almost have to start from scratch again, don't you?
Yeah, you do, but then again, they're a Division 2 team. Mm-hmm. That's the level we're going into next year. So you can't really look at it as, oh, we're such underdogs. That's the level we're going to be playing next year. Obviously, they're Leinster champions, but we had the Tuesday night off. We didn't train. So I think that was just a nice little break. Mm-hmm. But we're back now. We've 2.5 weeks to prepare for it, and we'll give them a good game.
Your style of play, I suppose, has evolved very much over the last two seasons, and it's a style that, I suppose, requires a large level of trust from your teammates. You know, how has that, I suppose, evolved over the course of this season in particular? Do you think has it been elevated, I suppose, from last season, or has it just remained consistent and that's been enough and that's been the important part?
No, I suppose it's been elevated, but that comes through performances on the pitch that they've seen, that they can trust you with different things. Obviously, like, free taking is a big thing now at the moment, but we're all very much in the mindset that we all trust each other. We're all on the pitch for a reason. We all have something to offer. So if it's me one game or another lad in another game, so be it. But we all have talents that put us on the pitch. So, yeah.
Talk to me about John as a manager, because obviously he's someone that's walked the walk and he knows where you guys are at. Like, you know, that must, I suppose, make the whole ordeal of the last 2 years even worth it that bit more, because you're giving back to somebody who has been at the pinnacles you want to be at.
Yeah, no, like, this is John's fourth year, and they've done huge things for us. They've obviously got us back-to-back promotions. The time and effort they put in is admirable. But like, especially John, being a Wexford man, as captain Wexford, his heart's in a good place. He's doing it for the right reasons, and that's obviously very easy to buy into and get behind.
That consistency in management, I think, across the board with GAA always leads to really good results, because it's almost treated as a project more so. And even, I mean, from an outsider looking in, like, even you guys getting to Division 2 doesn't feel like the end of the project. Like, it feels like you're still aiming for bigger and better things. Like, is that very much the case for you in the camp?
Yeah, we want to get to as high of a level as possible. We've never put together a good Leinster run or Tailteann Cup run since I've been in there. So that's obviously the next step. There's a lot to look forward to, especially this summer. Playing Louth away, the Leinster champions, they'll show you kind of the level you need to be operating at, especially for next year in Division 2. But there is a lot to look forward to.
If you look at, I suppose, the two teams you played in most recently, both Westmeath and Down, you know, they had really good runs in the Tailteann Cup. They won the competition at their own stages. You know, for yourselves, is that a tournament that you're actively targeting, that you want to get a win in that? Because you're at the stage now where you have the quality to do that. It's just a case of the Tailteann Cup can produce some absolutely bizarre results at times, can't it?
Yeah. No, look, we're obviously going to target the Tailteann Cup if we end up there. As we said earlier, like, silverware is a huge thing now for this team. We've got promoted, we've done all that, but we want to win as a team. Mm-hmm. That's important, because that'll kick you on to the next level. But yeah, Down, Westmeath, they both won Tailteann Cup. They've all gone up to Division 2, and they've come back down, obviously, but they've had a taste of what it's like playing Sam Maguire football and Division 2 football, and that can only benefit you.
Is there a point from, I suppose, the last 2 years in particular that sticks out to you as being the moment where you realise something special is happening here?
No, there's been too many to count, really. Mm-hmm. Like, we obviously won all 7 games in Division 4 last year, lost the league final, and then we kind of ended the season on a bit of a whimper, quarter final of the Tailteann Cup, and we came back, everyone said we'd just get relegated, we'd be a gimme 2 points for teams, but like I said, Fermanagh away, Laois at home, 2 teams we've played a good bit but haven't beaten, so that kind of inspires you to get to the next level. But there's been a few good moments over the last few years where you kind of feel we're moving in the right direction.
How are you finding the increased attention, I suppose, particularly on yourself? Like, I to you and, I suppose, the players around you, and to even coaching staff, they would have known your quality since day one, but it seems like maybe there's a lot more attention from national media with regards to your own game, and even mentioning you as kind of one of those really underrated players in football that maybe isn't getting the comeuppance you deserve. Like, does that fuel you to want to make you play even better, or is this kind of something you prefer people would stay away and not be, like, kind of annoying in that sense?
No, like, I don't mind. It's obviously nice, but for the position I'm in, it's a very humbling position. Like, you can play well for a few games and then make a mistake, and it's quite embarrassing at times. But it's part of the game. Obviously, if you're scoring, if you're saving penalties or whatever it is, there's going to be eyeballs on you. But like, I don't mind. I just try to stay quite neutral. Don't get too high, don't get too low.
It is mentally taxing, but I suppose even you look at the final there, you're named in Team of the Week just after it as well. Like, is that kind of a bittersweet sort of victory in that sense?
It's nice. I've been in a few of them, but it's more so maybe for my family or my parents, for them to enjoy. I don't pay too much attention to it. But yeah, like, it's obviously better to be in it than not be in it.
It must be nice, I suppose, seeing that growing fan support. Like, I remember, like, watching the Westmeath game on TG Cahir and just seeing the stands packed out with supporters and hearing that roar when you score that final goal. Like, it's not like a crowd that size is never something really, I suppose, you'd expect from football in Wexford, but to see it kind of gradually growing back and back, and maybe there's an element with the poor form of the hurlers at the moment that there maybe people in Wexford are looking for something to celebrate, and you've kind of just slotted nicely into that role. You know, how does it feel, I suppose, seeing that crowd grow year on year and kind of seeing more people coming towards it and seeing that, you know, football isn't a secondary sport in Wexford. It's very much up there on par with hurling as well.
Yeah, no, like, obviously we want to get as many people to the games as possible. I believe they got us over the line against Westmeath. Would have been very easy to just sit there and accept a beating, but no, it does help when they're getting behind you. I think Liam Coleman said it on Gigi Cahard that it wasn't very long ago where you could hear people's conversations in the stands, because there'd only be about 100, 200 at the game. So, like, it is nice, but it's something you can control. If you keep progressing and going up the divisions, people will come and watch you.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've spent 4 seasons now with the senior Wexford footballers. If you look, I suppose, 4 seasons down the line, where do you hope Wexford football is, and where do you hope you are yourself in your career?
Look, I still hope I'll be playing in goal. I'd like to think I have a good few years left in me. I'm still only 26 now, but like, in terms of Wexford, you want to keep them up in Division 2, try stay in the top 2 divisions for as long as you can. Hopefully inspire young lads to have a Wexford team that they can look at and hope to be a part of someday. That's obviously the main goal. Like, we're not a group who puts ourselves first. It's a very much a collective thing. And what's best for the group is best for the individual. So if we can just keep pushing Wexford forward, Wexford football forward, that's the main goal, and hopefully keep us where we are now.
Absolutely. Darragh Brooks, thank you so much, and best of luck with the campaign ahead.
Thank you very much.